it sounds like it's almost a quintessential mitzvah. It's the mitzvah that's above and beyond all of the other mitzvahs. Why? Why do we give the mitzvah of Parah Aduma such significance in describing it with the word Zois Chukas HaTorah? So I want to make the following suggestion. What is the mitzvah of Parah Aduma all about? Now, the truth is no one knows. No one knows the real meaning of the Parah Aduma. Chazal said that it's a chayk, it's the quintessential chayk. Even Shlomo HaMelech, the Chacham Mikol HaAdam, did not know the deeper meaning of Parah Aduma. But Parah Aduma, certainly, at least in one dimension, it is a kapara for the chet ha'egel. That's what Rashi says. Rashi, not here, but Rashi says that a para is the mother of an egel. And Klal Yisrael worship the egel 40 days after Hashem gave us the Torah. And Hashem told us to atone for this chet by preparing a Parah Aduma. And every time a person wants to cleanse himself from Tumas Hameis, he will have to come on to the waters of the Parah Aduma. And we understand this relates to the concept, the principle that the idea that at the time of Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael, they would live for, I don't know what this means, they would live forever. It means the quality of life was on a very different level that we can't relate to. When they worshiped the ego, that elevated form of existence was removed and they sunk. Life was not the same. Life was significantly diminished. Death obviously is the ultimate of loss of life. And with death comes contamination. And the Parah Aduma is here to remove that contamination and to restore the sanctity and the value of life to where it once was again. So it's not so unreasonable. We can relate to this. Since at the time of Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael received a very exalted state of life. With the Chet HaEgel, they lost it, which basically means they brought death back into the world into a new level. Therefore, the mitzvah of Parah Aduma, which in essence is a mitzvah which removes contamination that comes with death, is a rectification, is a reminder, rectification, is a kapara for the chet of the egel. Chazal say this. That's why the Parah Aduma is only, the ash is made from a para, because the para is the mother of the egel. Egel is what we worship at Har Sinai after 40 days. And the Chazal say, let the para come and let the para atone, the mother come and clean up for the mess of the child. Okay, that's one facet. But there's another facet about the Parah Aduma, in that it already goes back to the time of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, when he prayed for the people of Sidoim, he said the words to Hashem, the Anochi Ofar Vo'efer. Avraham Avinu expressed a significant degree of humility before HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the words, I'm a nothing. I'm here asking, begging you, Hashem, to have rachmanis upon the wicked people of Sidom, not to destroy them. And I acknowledge that I am not a person that's deserving, that's eligible to stand before you and beg for on behalf of the Jewish people. But what am I? I'm nothing but afar vo'efer. And Chazal tell us I was deserving, I really should have been reduced to nothing more than ash when Nimrod threw me into the Kivshon HaEsh when I refused to bow before him and acknowledge that him as an Avodah Zarah. You, Hashem, miraculously spared me from the furnace of Nimrod. I'm here still alive, but really I should be Efer. I should be Esh. It was an acknowledgement by Avram Avinu that I don't deserve to live. I was willing to give up my life for you. And here I am, and I'm coming to ask you for something that I don't deserve. I'm coming to beg you to save, have rachmanis upon the people of Sidon. Chazal say, because of that beautiful acknowledgement of saying, V'anochi ofar vo'efer, his descendants, his children, Klal Yisrael, were zoicha, they merited the mitzvah of Para Aduma. So we have over here two different elements of Para Aduma. Let's read the Avram Avinu, and also when we focus on the Para Aduma from the perspective of Avram Avinu, it makes a lot of sense. Because Avram Avinu should have died, should have been dead. And he came back to life. Hashem allowed him to live. And it wasn't just that Hashem miraculously allowed him to live. He acknowledged that he's a survivor. I mean, I can't speak for survivors, but every person, to a degree in their life, had near-death experiences. Every person, I'm sure, had an experience sometime when they were in a car or they were even crossing the street, and you can say it was a close call. And when a person has that experience, when the experience is over, how do they relate to the experience? So some people will say, all right, no big deal. Other people will say, you know, really, al derech hateva, I should not be here anymore. And if I'm here today, I'm a survivor. If I'm a survivor, I have to acknowledge that I'm a survivor. I should not be alive. I'm not only am I alive, there's an acknowledgement in being alive. Para Aduma restores life when a person comes in contact with the dead. When a person sees in front of him a dead body, it's impossible not to reflect and say to yourself, well, the day is coming when I'm going to be dead. Nobody lives forever. And when you look at a dead person, it's not just the spiritual contamination of being present in the Oil HaNes. This is life. It's a wake-up call. Every time we go to a funeral, even if you don't go to a funeral, every time you hear about someone who dies, you know, it's coming around. It's going to get, at the end of the day, everyone's going to die. But right now I'm alive. And if right now I'm alive, I have to acknowledge that I'm not dead, I'm alive. And that acknowledgement demands from me to serve Hashem with more vigor, more purpose. Avraham Avinu was the one who excelled in that midah more than anyone else ever in Jewish history. Avraham Avinu was thrown into a furnace. Avraham Avinu should have been reduced to ash. Avraham Avinu came out alive. He never forgot that he went mimoves l'chayim, from death to life. He acknowledged. And when he went forward in serving Hashem and davening before Hashem, he would say, Ribono shel Olam, v'anochi afar v'efer. Para Aduma is mitaher, a person from death to life. Until this moment in time, I am contaminated with the contamination of coming in contact with the dead. And now by sprinkling upon me the water that has been mixed with the ash of the para, now I'm no longer associated with the dead. The contamination that comes with being involved and being connected to the dead goes away. And I'm now part of the land of the living. So it fits perfectly, like a glove, with the theme. I mean, the whole idea of why a para and the ash and this and that, that's all a chayk. But what does Para Aduma do? Para Aduma takes us from death to life. When a person is tamei, tumas meis, it means he is associated, he is connected to death. Upon my body is a spiritual contamination. I am an av hatumah. I'm not allowed to eat truma. I'm not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not allowed to do anything which demands tahara, because I am dead. What do you mean I'm dead? I have connected myself to a dead body, and by being connected, the contamination of the dead comes upon me. I'm partially connected to the dead. Through the Para Aduma, I completely sever myself from the dead. I'm tohor, and I'm part of the living. Avraham Avinu was dead. He was thrown into a furnace. Hashem spared his life. Miraculously, he survived. He went from the dead to the living. It wasn't just that he went from dead to the living. He acknowledged that it was Hashem's doing, and he appreciated it, and he went further with it to do good in this world, to say to Hashem, please have rachmanis upon the people of this world. So it fits very well what Paraduma, why it is associated, why indeed it's associated with Avraham Avinu. Now likewise, let's go to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is really the same thing. Moshe Rabbeinu, what happened at the Chet HaEgel? Klal Yisrael, they worship the Egel. Hashem says, Moshe, I want to speak to you. And Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, we're going to destroy these people. Heref mimenu ve'ashmidein. Let go of me, and I'm going to wipe them out in 1 second. I'm going to take you and your wife Tzipporah, and from you I will build a new nation. The Jewish people are dead. They're goners. Dead. Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel to Hashem. No, no, no. They're not dead. You're not going to do this. I'm going to ask you forgiveness. And if you're not going to forgive them, I'm not going to be a partner in your crime, Hashem, and allow you to build for me a new nation. I quit as well. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he brought Klal Yisrael from death to life. And therefore, it makes a lot of sense that when we take, and then what is the atonement of the Egel, the Parah? Because the Parah really is connecting us to Moshe Rabbeinu in how he was mispalel to Hashem, and he prevented Hashem from fulfilling Hedef Mimenu V'Ashminim. Now there's one important piece of the puzzle which I didn't then explain, and that is, when it says here by the Parsha Paradum, it says, Daber B'Neshul V'Yikhu Eilecha. Chazal Darshan from the word Eilecha, that the only one to you, could be there's another word Lecha, there's another word, but Chazal, this is everyone knows Chazal anyway, the only one in the entire world who ever fully comprehended the depth of Parah Aduma was Moshe Rabbeinu. No one other than Moshe Rabbeinu merited to fully comprehend the purpose of Parah Aduma. It was unique to Moshe Rabbeinu. And as we just explained, it makes a lot of sense why it should be unique to Moshe Rabbeinu, because what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He was mechaper. He was instrumental in being mispalel to Hashem to mechaper for the chait of the egel and removing death upon the Jewish people and restoring them to life. Therefore, when we in our daily existence want to remove ourselves from the contamination of death and only be associated with life, we connect ourselves to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the Parah Aduma, which was the kapara from the ultimate death to life, and which does just that. And what am I trying to tell you? Coming back to the original question. The original question was, why is Parah Aduma called the Chukas HaTorah, the quintessential law of the Torah? And let's add one more piece to the puzzle and put everything together. And this is something we discussed many, many times. In Klal Yisrael, there are two branches. There are two different levels of leadership. On the one hand, every single day, three times a day, we recite the Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we relate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we connect to the others, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. On the other hand, Hashem gave us the Torah, and from the moment of Har Sinai, everything started for the very first time. Every mitzvah that we had until Matan Torah was negated. Matan Torah, the mitzvahs were given fresh. Even things that we observe, the Zion mitzvahs, Bnei Noach, we only observe them from the point of Matan Torah, not from the point before Matan Torah. Matan Torah was a new starting point in the history of Klal Yisrael, and it was done through Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Emes, V'Toyrosai Emes. We are all students of our Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu. So in other words, in Klal Yisrael, we have two different fathers. We have two different leaders that we look up to. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And from the three, of course, the first one is Avraham. And Mitzat Shein, the other branch of our history to whom we connect to as our beginning, is Moshe Rabbeinu, who went to Shemayim to bring down the Torah. The mitzvah of Parah Aduma is the only mitzvah. It is the most unique mitzvah, B'chol HaTorah Kul, from the Taryag mitzvah, is in the respect that it brings together, it synthesizes, it blends, it merges and morphs together Avraham with Moshe. There was no other mitzvah that you can say, this mitzvah brings together our two leaders, our two patriarchs. You can't call Moshe's not our patriarch, but I mean our Rebbe with our father. You know, in Shulchan Aruch, there are a lot of halachas. If a person only has enough money, if you only can save, you're in a desert, and you only can save your father or your Rebbe, who do you save? Who do you save? It's a shocking question. Who do you save? The halacha is you save your Rebbe. Because your Rebbe brings you, your father only brought you to Olam Hazeh, and you're... All right, you back? You hear me? Hello? Hello?
Where'd he go?
Okay, you hear me now? You hear me now? Can you hear me?
Yeah, rewind okay. About 30 seconds.
Okay, sorry about that. Nothing I can do about that. I don't know. I really am clueless as to what's going on here. There's a very poor internet connection here. That's the problem. That's really all the problems start with. Any event, the mitzvah of Parah Adumah is the only mitzvah which synthesizes Moshe, our Rebbe, with Avraham, our father. There are certain things in Yadlus we connect to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Tefillah, our Midos, the Avos HaKadoshim, there is a whole Shulchan Aruch of just connecting with Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And there's another Shulchan Aruch where we primarily connect only with Moshe Rabbeinu, Toras Moshe. The Torah was given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu, by Har Sinai, through Moshe Rabbeinu. How many mitzvahs in all of Tayag mitzvahs can you say, synthesize, bring together, it's one compound, Moshe and Avraham, our two original founders, Parah Adumah. Mitzad Echad, when Avraham said to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, v'anochi ofer v'efer, Hashem said, wow, you really get it. You appreciate what it means to be alive. And you appreciate the musr of being alive to go forward and to be mispalel for the world, for Sodom. Even for Sodom, you're willing to be mispalel for. Moshe Rabbeinu, after the Cheto Egel, Hashem said, the Aheref Mimene Vi Ashmideim. Moshe says, no, I'm going to dive into you, Hashem. You should forgive them for the Cheto Egel. We'll bring a Parah. The mother will come and clean up for the child. Moshe Rabbeinu did exactly the same thing as Avraham Avinu did for Sodom. Moshe Rabbeinu did for us. And in reward for this, Hashem says, I'm giving you, Taka, the mitzvah of Parah Adumah. And you know what? You will be the only one in the world that will fully comprehend the depth of Parah Adumah. Not Shlomo HaMelech and not anyone else. Only you, Moshe, you will be the Chacham Mikol HaAdam. Shlomo says, it's Rochek Mimeni. Rochek Mihem Se'ena. Only Moshe can have this. Parah Adumah is unique in all of the Taryag mitzvahs. It's one mitzvah that when we absorb its lessons, its teachings, and when we fulfill it, today we don't have a Parah Adumah, obviously, when we mekayim the mitzvah, we are synthesizing our two founders together in one shot. Avraham Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Where do you have a mitzvah like that? And thus, when the Torah, the parasha begins, Zois Chukas HaTorah. There's no other mitzvah that it says, this nusach. This is the law of the Torah. This, why? Because this mitzvah captures everything from beginning to end. And not only does it capture everything, it captures Avraham Avinu at his best moment. And it captures Moshe Rabbeinu at his best moment. There was no more noble moment in the life of Avram of Moshe Rabbeinu when he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mocheini na misifrach asher kosafta. If you dare say, Hedef mimeni vi ash midem, I don't want any part in this. Mocheini na misifrach asher kosafta. These are my people. I'm loyal to them. I'm devoted to them. And we're going to get through the situation. And Hashem says, you're right. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to forgive them by giving them the mitzvah of Parah Aduma. And there was no greater moment in the history of Avraham Avinu when he was thrown into the furnace because he wanted to tell the world there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. And when he came out of the furnace alive and he went to save the world, even to save Sodom, and he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I know that you saved my life. Anochi ofer v'efer. I'm a nothing. I should have been, should have disintegrated into Efer. You saved my life. And because you saved my life, it's my duty to go on a mission to accomplish something in this world. This was his most noble moment. It was the most noble moment of Avraham Avinu, the most noble moment of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the mitzvah of Parah Aduma is that one mitzvah that synthesizes both of our founders, Avraham and Moshe. This is very unique. Where do you have such a thing like this in the whole Torah? That's the chashivas of the mitzvah Parah Aduma, zois chukas haTorah. Okay, let's go on to another idea. Let's move along to the May Meriva. Okay, it's a short vart, and I just only thought about this vart because, you know, yesterday, Baruch Hashem, we have a very chashva olam that wants to learn Siddur. We learned Siddur yesterday, and yesterday we were learning Hoidu. Hoidu Lashem ki toiv ki liolam chas. Hoidu Lashem ki kiru. Hoidu Lashem kiru vishmo. Hodiu vo'amim ali loisav. This is the first pasuk in Hodu that we recite every single day. If you daven nusach Ashkenaz, after you recite Baruch She'amar. That's the first pasuk. Yesterday we discussed generally what Hodu was about, but what in fact is the first pasuk of Hodu? First pasuk is, you say every day, Hoidu la Hashem, kiru vishmo, call out in his name. Hodiu, make it known, vo'amim ali loisav, his deeds. So when I was preparing the shiur for the Siddur, there was an idea that almost every sefer that I taught said the same exact thing. And I think it fits perfectly into this week's parasha relating to the Mei HaMeriva. Moshe Rabbeinu in Parashas Chukas did an avera. Well, how can we say that? But Moshe Rabbeinu, he was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to speak to the rock. This is a very frightening parasha. This is the parasha where we are told, when Moshe is told that you're not going to enter into Eretz Yisrael because you rebelled against me. I told you to speak to the rock. And instead of speaking to the rock, you hit the rock. You hit the rock. Moshe, you weren't supposed to do that. I told you to speak to the rock. What's the difficulty with this whole issue? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, back in Parshas, I think it was B'Shalach, he hit the rock. Hashem told him, hit the rock. Is that what hit the rock? They came to after Kriyas Yamsuf. They came into the desert. There was nothing to drink. They found a rock, and Moshe hits the rock. Hashem says, hit the rock. He hits the rock, and water comes out. Now it's 40 years later, and Moshe Rabbeinu, again, there is no water. And Moshe Rabbeinu, they're traveling in the desert. Hashem says to Moshe, get the water out of the rock. So Moshe takes out his manual, his instruction manual, and he sees, look, 40 years ago, I hit the rock. So I'll do the same thing now. I'll hit the rock, and the water will come out. And yet, all the world came to an end. Moshe Rabbeinu, you machal, my shame. Hashem uses such extreme language. You did not sanctify my name. You committed the worst. It sounds almost like you committed the worst avera possible by hitting the rock and not speaking to the rock. What's going on over here? The answer, I believe, lies in the first pasuk that we say every single day in Psukei Dezimra. Hoidu la Hashem, kiru vishmo. Hodiyu, make it known vo'amim among the nations, ali loisav. If you look in any sefer that elaborates, that discusses the nusach of the siddur and elaborates upon the nusach, they'll tell you the following vart. The first half of the pasuk is addressing Klal Yisrael. The second half of the pasuk is addressing the Umay Sa'ilam. And it's telling us a different approach to praise Hashem. When the Umay Sa'ilam want to devote their time and effort to praise Hashem, the only way they can possibly connect and really bring out the emotion of their thanksgiving to Hashem, of being alive and well, is if they tell over stories. They elaborate. They have to discuss it. Why is Hashem great? Why? Why is God great? Well, look at, I'm alive. I have parnas, I have food on the table. I have a job. I have a car. This terrible thing could have happened to me, and God, He saved me. And let me tell you this story. Let me tell you that story. And they go on and on. They'll write books, and they'll tell you stories. And they're amazing stories. And through these stories, the whole world, they derive inspiration. We derive inspiration. And anyone that's listening to these stories are very inspired. When someone, a guy, gets up and describes Hashem's greatness and tells you over stories and insight and discusses the depth of his understanding of the greatness of Hashem, there's something to listen to. Hodiu vo'amim ali loisav, his deeds, his actions, the actions of Hashem, this is where a non-Jew brings out hodu, thanksgiving. But the pasuk begins addressing Klal Yisrael. Hoidu LaHashem, for you the Jewish people, all you have to do is Kiru Vishma, just say Hashem's name. All you have to do is say Yudke Vavke, Baruch Atah Hashem, Baruch Hashem. A Jew, an Orthodox Jew, an observant Jew, who lives a life of fulfilling, being mekayim the mitzvahs, of learning Torah, the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great, so intense, to bring a person to emotion, to express thanksgiving, to change your frame of mind, all you have to do is say Hashem's name. There's a famous story with a Rosh Yeshiva. There was a person comes into the yeshiva, a very prominent person comes, and he says, I'm looking for a shidduch for my daughter. Who do you recommend? How about Beryl? Oh, Beryl! Beryl, okay, the internet over here says it's not stable. If you lose me, don't go away. I'll come back if you lose me. I'm getting messages on my screen that my internet is not stable. Do the best that we can. But let's say guys, Beryl, he finished Shas 5 times. Beryl is tall and good looking. Okay, how about this guy, Yitzchak? Oh, he's such a good heart, such a Baal Chesed. He has all of these talents. He can daven for the Amud. He knows how to sing and to. What about Yankel? Yankel, he's brilliant. He has a mathematical mind. And Yankel can do this and can do that. And how about Zundel? I'm best thinking Zundel? Oh, Zundel is Zundel. You don't have to, certain people, you don't have to describe, you don't have to sing, describe them. Just their name alone. Zundel? Oh, Zundel is Zundel. You don't need to elaborate. Just mention the person's name, and immediately all of the milos flood your head. It's the composite of everything together. It's not this midah, this attribute, this quality, this detail. It's the composite. This guy got it all. He got it all. This guy is just amazing. Every midah, just to say his name, warms your heart. The Umo Yisro'olam have a very limited connection with Hashem. It's limited relative to us. Relative to us. So when they want to connect to Hashem, Hashem has this Maila and that Maila. He did this for me, he did that for me, he saved me here, did this. You focus on the Mailas. Klal Yisrael, we have such an intense relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just to say Hashem's name is sufficient. Hoidu la Hashem. How do you give Hoidu la Hashem? Well, it depends. For the Umay Sa'ilam, you know how they give praise to Hashem? Hodiu vo'amim among the nations, Ali Loisav. Discuss his deeds, his actions. The Klal Yisrael? Kiru v'shma. Just say Hashem's name. Baruch atah Hashem. That's all you need to do. I don't need to hear more. I can already sense in the way you say Baruch, I can already feel how the praise of Hashem. It's a whole different league. Whole different league. When Klal Yisrael came out of the Mitzrayim 40 years ago, before this parish, this week's parish was 40 years later. When they left Mitzrayim, they were fresh out of the farm. Okay, they just got off the bus from the little leagues. They were not major league players. They were trainees. They were rookies. They didn't know from nothing. What kind of relationship did they have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu at this point in time? Halalu ov the Avodah Zara, halalu ov the Avodah Zara. So Moshe Rabbeinu is going to hit the rock. It's drama. You want water? You want water? We'll hit the rock. Smoke and mirrors. A lightning show. 4th of July. Thunder and lightning. Because what do we really have with Hashem at that point in time? Hodil vo'amim ali loisav. We were really no different than the nations of the world. The amim. Ali loisav, Hashem's deeds. You gotta do something. You gotta bang the rock, hit the rock. You gotta, you know, make a lot of noise. Make a lot of noise. Smoke and mirrors. Thunder and lightning. Shock and awe. You gotta hustle. But it's now been 40 years. It's been 40 years sitting in Koilo. 40 years of eating the man. 40 years of witnessing, absorbing the Shechina. Standing within Dalet Amos from the Mishkan, from the Aron. What experience did they not have during these 40 years? At this point in time, it's no longer necessary to praise Hashem Hodil Vo'amim Ali Loisav by enumerating all of his amazing deeds and reading inspirational stories and getting the best speakers. All you got to do now is say Baruch Atah Hashem. That is enough. Moshe Rabbeinu, these are not children anymore. You don't need any more to deal with Klal Yisrael with thunder and lightning and put on plays and take them on camping trips and go to Niagara Falls and do all these things. 40 years, these people, they're very holy people. Hoidu la Hashem kiru v'shmo. Just say Hashem's name. Talk gently to the rock. Just say to the rock, Hashem wants you to give forth water. That's all you need to do. This week we've graduated from Hodiu Vo'amim Ali Loisav to Hoidu LaHashem Kiru Vishma. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset with Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not necessary. You're treating them like babies. Don't treat Klal Yisrael after 40 years like babies. They're not babies anymore. They're mature, sophisticated, Talmidei Chachamim, Anshei Maila, Anshei Kodesh. They're at a new level. Moshe Rabbeinu, this I can't accept. And you cannot be their leader anymore. If after 40 years you fail to acknowledge how they've grown, how they've risen to an exalted level where they're no longer in the category of Hodil Va'amim Ali Loisaf, you're still holding that they're Kiru Vishma, they're still holding my Hodil Va'am Ali Loisaf? I'm sorry. That's not where they're holding. Now they're holding in a madrig of Kiru Vishmo. Just open your mouth and say to the rock, give the water. That's more, that should be more than enough. Okay, let's go to another idea. I want to talk now about the 4th of July. Happy 4th to everyone. Today is the 4th of July. Today is the anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. Where we, 13 colonies, bar mitzvah, it's mamash the bar mitzvah. It's the anniversary of the bar mitzvah of America. There were 13 colonies, and the founding fathers, my internet connection is unstable, it says on my computer, bear with me. The founding fathers, they got together and they signed, it's not really true, they didn't sign it today. Read the history, it's a big lie. But in any event, approximately, they declared their independence from Britain in the Declaration of Independence. The United States of America has brought to the world untold bracha. We should really say today, I really believe, losing me? Okay, hello, you still hear me? Okay. The United States of America has brought to this world enormous bracha. We should really say right now, Hanoisein Tishur La Malachim Memshul La Nesichim. We should really right now say the Nusach, you say in honor of the Medina, many shuls, they say this every Shabbos, Kol HaKavod. If I had a shul, I would say it every Shabbos. And it's a chaval, a terrible chaval that the yeshiva world doesn't say it. It's a terrible, terrible chaval. It was always said in all the countries, in Russia, Poland, to give kavod to the Malchus, to Malchus, Al Achas Kama V'Kama, the Chesed of America, Medina Shel Chesed, freedom of religion, take care of us, put aside all the politics, the nasty, dirty politics. The bottom line is, we're all here. The electricity is on, the internet is going, okay? There are stipends, checks in the mail. Put aside all the bickering and all the nivel peh. It's the Medina Shel Chesed. And a lot to be thankful for in America. People, the golden of Medina, people they literally kissed the earth when they came to America, came to Ellis Island to survive America. There's nothing to make light of. July 4th. Today is also, it's a very mixed feeling today, because today, July 4th, coincides with how often does this happen? Never. It's happening against the backdrop of Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas. We spoke about this already so many times. Today is the anniversary of the Sreifa Satira. In the year 1244, 24 wagon loads of Talmud Bavli and their commentaries were burnt in a town square. One of the greatest acts of anti-Semitism, the greatest attempt to destroy Klal Yisrael, which had consequences and ramifications that are beyond our comprehension, took place today. Today is a Tainus. In Shulchan Aruch it says you're supposed to fast today, the entire day. She'elus Chaloim Do Gezeira Sereisa. Terrible, terrible event to reflect upon the hatred that Esav Soineis Yaakov. The hatred, Halacha Biyadua, Esav Soine Yaakov. And there was no day like today, Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, and the consequences of destroying an attempt, calculated, deliberate, organized attempt to destroy the lifeblood of Klal Yisrael, the Talmud, Torah Shabbal Peh, and the consequences that ensued immediately thereafter by being expelled from France, and then from there, every country took that, as I said before, as a a domino effect of went on for the next number of centuries. So it's a very disturbing day today. Mitzad Echad has never been, it's never been so good for the Jews. Never. Rabbi Berlwan, he writes very eloquently in one of his history books is that in history it used to be that the golden age of Spain, the golden age of Spain was always understood to be the best life a Jew could have in Galus. There was never a time in 1900 years when a Jew had freedom and was able to develop and serve Hashem in Galus like the golden age of Spain. And Berlwan writes there that life in America makes the golden age of Spain into, I don't remember his eloquent words, into a joke. There is the comfort level that the Jews have now in America is on a league that you can't even compare remotely to the golden age of Spain. So even though historically, before we came to America, when Jews want to talk about a good life in Galus, you're in Galus. Galus is Galus. Galus means pogroms. It means torture, inquisition. It means Holocaust. It means anti-Semitism, blood libels, taxes. You name it. Every dirty word in the book, that's what Galus is. You want to talk about a good life in the golden age of Spain. The golden age of Spain is nothing compared to what we have in America. So Mitzad Echad today is a very great day. But Mitzad Sheni, it's Hashem has orchestrated this to remind us, don't take anything for granted. Don't take it for granted, the blessing you have in America. Because on this day when you celebrate the Declaration of Independence, the freedom of religion, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and the fact that we live in a country where they believe that all men are created equal. Don't take this for granted. Because on this very day today, we suffered like none other. And it's in fact a time, it's a Yom Tzayim. So it's a very delicate balance. Mitzad Echad, we're very grateful. Mitzad Sheni, it's especially now what's going on in this world. In all respects, wherever you turn, Iran, you know, it's a very dangerous situation. They're saying now that the Israelis are the ones that are responsible. Is it true or not? I don't know. We have to go read the news in the afternoon, see what the latest. You know, things can escalate in 1 second. We live in a very dangerous world. Corona ain't over yet. Not even close. And the whole nature of America, what's going on? Very, very disturbing. Interesting, the Declaration of Independence. What does it say in the Declaration of Independence? There's some very interesting nuschos. All men are created equal. We hold these, let me read you what it says. We hold these truths to be self-evident. This is what it says in today's document, right? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with a certain unalienable rights, which means they cannot be denied, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are very beautiful words, but the problem is, and we're very grateful for these words, make no mistake about it, I'll celebrate July 4th in a heartbeat, but these words are not what it says in the Torah. In the Torah HaKadosha, it does not say all men are created equal. No such thing. All men are not the same. A Kohen is not a Levi. A Levi is not a Yisrael. A man is not a woman, and a woman is not a man. There are people who are avodim, slaves. There are people who are non-Jews. There are people who are members of the society of Amalek. There are people who are amoinim umoyavim. There are mitzriim. The Torah breaks up every single person into a category. And we live in a country where we are so grateful, but the challenge of the hashkafa that the country is built upon is not a Torah hashkafa. All men are not equal. A man cannot do what a woman does. A woman cannot do what a man does. A Yisrael cannot enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the way it is. You're not a Kohen, you're not a Kohen. You're not a Levi. A Goy, an Amaleki, has to be eliminated. Okay, we don't do this today, obviously, but...
But equality doesn't necessarily mean any of those things.
Well, look what's going on today. You look at society today.
Equality of justice, you know.
I don't know. It's right. I don't think that's
under the law. Okay,
there's a lot of background noise here that is not that something is wrong here. Anyway, I hear what you're saying, but if you look at the sentiment in society today. These words unfortunately have been abused by segments of society. As there's a sentiment which is a bracha in a way, but yet we have to appreciate that we are guests here in the country. We're extremely grateful, but this is not true. It's not true that all men are created equal. It goes on to say that we are endowed by that they are endowed by their creator. That's a very beautiful thing to acknowledge as a creator. Baruch Hashem for that. Unfortunately, who knows? We'll write the Declaration of Independence soon with certain unalienable rights. Really? Unalienable means it cannot be taken away. Really? Cannot be taken away? All right, that's not necessarily that's an interesting statement. And what are the life?
That's a founding principle. That's what divides the statists from the original idea that the government has no right, if you will, to take rights away, because the rights don't emanate from government; they emanate from God.
Okay, but it goes on to say the man has the right, life, liberty, and the pursuit of justice. Let me just focus on pursuit of you. The impression you get living in America is you have the right to pursue life, living the pursuit of happiness, and the pursuit of happiness. When you learn Tanakh, there's one pasuk that stands out when you read the Declaration of Independence. Roidef tzedaka v'chesed yimsa chayim tzedaka v'chavod. The only thing in this world that you pursue is not happiness. In Tanakh, in a religious Jew, the pasuk says you're supposed to pursue tzedakah, righteousness, and kindness. And if you succeed in pursuing the midah of tzedakah and chesed, then you know what you get? Then you earn yimtza chayim, life. Life, tzedakah, the chavod and honor. Declaration of Independence is a beautiful document. We nene from it every single moment of our lives, but it's not a Jewish hashkafa. In a Jewish hashkafa, the only thing you pursue is to do kindness with someone else. Life is not a guarantee. Life is a gift. It's something that you have to earn. It's not your own alienable rights that you have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. No. It is your duty to pursue kindness. And thus, through your pursuit, you will not be you will earn life, liberty. All right,
Rabbi,
I know.
You can't expect a goyim to have that same idea.
I'm not expecting them. Chas v'sholom.
The idea of a pursuit of happiness
It's not necessarily so.
You can interpret the pursuit of happiness, the pursuit of your own religious values and lifestyle.
Okay, I get it. I fully understand.
Then proceeds. You can from, you know, to follow your own values.
I'm not,
and it doesn't guarantee happiness. It only guarantees the opportunity, not the outcome.
I fully get it. I fully get it. And in no way in the world am I suggesting that America, the Ummah Yisraelim, should follow what it says in Chazal. They're not Orthodox Jews. They're not Jewish. Chashom. All I'm saying is, we are blessed to live in this society. And in this society, these are the values. And these are very good values for them. And they're very good values for us also. All I'm saying is, when you live your whole life in this country, and these are the cherished values of the country, it's very easy to forget and to get lost, not to remember that you, specifically you, as an Orthodox Jew, in your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and with your fellow man, have a different set of rules. These are good rules. These are good rules for them.
That's true.
That's all I'm trying to say.
100%.
That's all I'm trying to say. I know, Rabbi Michal, we can twist and turn, and we have bringing constitutional lawyers and those who want to, you read the law one way or that way. I'm not going there. I'm just generalities. We are blessed to live in this country. The country is built upon today, the document that we celebrate today, the Declaration of Independence. The flavor. There are 31 flavors, Baskins and Robbins ice cream. The flavor is that you have rights, everyone is equal, and you have rights, and you have a right to pursue happiness, and you have a right to live, and you have a right for liberty. Yes, that's the, but we privately, in our neshamas, have to be very careful, because these are beautiful things for the world, they're very beautiful for society, they're very good for the country, but we as members of Klal Yisrael have a very different set of values. We don't have any rights. We're not all equal. Everyone has a role. Everyone has a mission. Life is not a right. Life is something that you earn. And the way you earn it is not by pursuing happiness. It's by being roideif, living a life where you're seeking out to be a good person, to do tzedek, and to do chesed. And when you pursue chesed, not happiness, automatically you earn the right to live. Yim Tzacham is a pasuk. I'm not making this up. This is a pasuk. All I'm saying is, this is wonderful, and we're makir toiv, but we have to appreciate these ideals. They're not Torah ideals. Today is a declaration of independence. That's right. United States, the 13 colonies.
I don't see the contradiction.
There's no contradiction. There's no contradiction. Absolutely. That's what I'm trying to say. There is no, but I'm saying is, we have to acknowledge that there's a divide. It's not a contradiction. There is the country. There is society. There are our appreciation. Hello? All right, I'm back. I don't know. I'm back. Okay, let's continue.
I cannot say it's not, the Torah is not yours. The Torah is mine.
Okay, we have a few minutes left. Yes. One more thing, we're running out of time. Today is the Declaration of Independence. What did Chazal say about independence? Today, the independence, Rabbi Sai.
We can't, oh, I don't know if he can hear us right. Or not.
Okay, I'm sorry, now you can hear me.
No.
Today, Rabbi Sai, we have a few more minutes left. Today is the Declaration of Independence. The independence is an independence from Britain.
Rabbi Levine?
Yes?
You should bring in any one of your relatives who practice either in constitutional law or...
Nat Lewin. We should bring in Nat Lewin.
Speak about it.
We should have him through Zoom. Now he should be able to join us through Zoom. Why not? I should call him up. He should be able to come through Zoom.
Either of
Mayor Soloveitchik.
Nate Lewin or his daughter, you know.
Okay, Aliza Lewin. Maybe it's right. It's a good idea. I doubt it, but maybe I should try anyway. Any event, you know, today is the Declaration of Independence. That's a beautiful thing. We're independent from the tyranny of Britain. Britain, they, you know, read the history. It wasn't so pleasant. They were trying to control the colonies, v'chulu v'chulu. But in the Torah, there's no independence. Chazal say, Ein l'chachorus al haluchos. The Aseres Hadibros were etched on the luchos. Chazal say, Al tikri chorus ela chayrus. Ein l'cha ben choyrin ela mi she'oisek b'Torah. Okay, Ein l'cha ben choyrin. Like I told you, it's very frightening that today, the declaration today, that we celebrate the Declaration of Independence, and when you say the word independence to a religious Jew, he thinks about Ein l'cha ben choyrin, elami she'oisek b'Torah, and today is the backdrop where that was tried. They tried to take that away from us, a different country, many, many years before the United States existed, before they even discovered America, before they even discovered this land. In the year 1244, at a different time of the world, was still mourning the fact that they tried to take away our chayrus. They tried very hard to take away our chayrus. It's a very bizarre day. It's a very bizarre day today where these two things come together. A celebration of chayrus against the backdrop of halacha biyadua, Esav sonei Yaakov. They tried to take away our chayrus of the Sreifa Satara. Now, let me also, today, I want to, a short idea, we mentioned, today, is the Sreva Satara, the Meram Meranberg, he wrote a kina. Tisha B'Av is coming up, not so far ahead. He wrote a kina, Shali Serufa Beish. I always wondered this question. I always never understood this. And I still don't, but just the following thought came to mind today. I was looking this over. I always wondered, you get to the end of kinois, you start the tzioins. I always have to get very excited when they get to the tzioins because I knew it's almost over. You know, it's torture. Kinnis, I don't understand one word it says, and they say the kinnis, and all I know is when the chazan, he starts saying, tzioin, tzioin. When I start hearing him say the word tzioin, I know, oh, it's almost over. Another couple of minutes, I'm out of here. Davening is over, I can go to sleep. Okay, now in the tzioins, how many tzioins, by the way, are there? There are 9 tzioins. There are 9 kinois that begin with the word tzioin. In the middle of the tzioins, towards the end, is Sha'ali Sirufa Vo'esh. Okay, this is the kin that was composed by the Meram Meranberg in response to the Sreifa Satorah. Why is Shali Serufa Vo'esh in the middle of the Tzioins? All of the Tzioins are describing the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the first chunk of Kinois is describing the Churban. It's very depressing. It's very sad. And then when you get to the end, you shift gears. And instead of focusing on the negative, you mourn by focusing on the positive. And all of the kinos, those tzions, there are 9 tzions, 9 kinos that mention tzion, and they all are very beautiful. They all describe the beauty of Eretz Yisrael in all of its facets, dimensions, details. And in the middle of nowhere, of the 9 tzions, they stuck in the Meram Meranberg's kina on the Sreifa Satora, Shali Srufa Voesh, L'Shloim Avei Laich. What's it doing here? It should either be afterwards, after the tzioins, or before the tzioins. What is it doing here in the middle? I don't have a good answer. I really don't. The only thing that I find to be interesting is as follows. The last words of the tzioin before Shali Srufa Vo'esh, what are the words, the last words? V'hi ateres tzvi l'sho'or adorayach. Let Eretz Yisrael be a crown of beauty for the remnant of your flock, for the Jewish people. The first words that we read after the kina of Shali Srufa Vo'esh, the first words are Tzion, Tzifiras, you are a crown. The word Tzifiras is a similar word to in that Torah. It's another word which means a crown. You are a Tzifiras Pe'er, a crown of glory. Chedvas, the delight. Agudayich, of your group, your aguda, not the agudas Yisrael. The aguda, mean of the aguda, means the band of Klal Yisrael. I looked at all of the tzioins, the first words and the last words. None of them have anything like this. They're all pretty stale. I don't say stale. They're all very blah. Okay, let's go to the next tzion is tzion b'mishpat l'chilach im me'oinayach. Go take them to court. Take your enemies to court. And how does it end? It ends divagam oiz might uzeroya pe'er bigdei chamudayach, might and power, the glory of your clothing. Go through all of them. They focus on other facets. I'm suggesting the reason why Shali Shloim, Shali Srufa Va'esh was positioned very specifically in the Tzioins, it's because it's sandwiched in between these two expressions. It's to remind us that there is no greater crown, there's no greater chedva and honor for the Jewish people than the Torah Shebaal Peh. It was positioned here, I'm suggesting, it's probably just nonsense, but you got to answer the question. Someone's got to give a good answer to this question. Why is Shali Srufa Vo'esh? Why is it here? Put it before the Tzioins, put it after the Tzioins. There are nine Tzioins. It's not just that it begins with the word Tzioin. The whole Kina is written describing the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, and in the middle we're mourning. It's a very deep, painful kina. He describes where the Rami Ramberg describes the horror of the Shreva Sator. What's it doing here in the middle? Because it's sandwiched between two expressions that really bring out what the Torah means to Klal Yisrael. V'hi ateres svi. Torah is a crown of beauty, l'sho'or, for the remnant of Klal Yisrael, for us in Golos. And it's a tzifiras pe'er, a crown of pride. It's our pride and it's our joy. Agudayich, for Klal Yisrael that's together, grouped together in Golos. Combination tells us that it's beautiful, it is our delight, it is our pride. These words are what surround the Torah HaKadosh. These ideas. And therefore, and if you go I want to all of them, try to stick this in between any of the tzions, you don't have anything like this, nothing like this. And just for it to be a loner out in the middle of nowhere, it'll also get lost. There was Hashkacha, I don't know the real reason, but there is something here to emphasize to us that the chavivos of Torah Shebaal Peh, it is our beauty, it is our pride, it is our joy. It is Klal Yisrael. And it's certainly true for the people here in this virtual classroom on Zoom who devote themselves every single day, precious time. Everyone's time is extremely precious, to take out of their time to come every day and to learn the Torah HaKadosha. There are no people in this world about whom you can say have an appreciation and are believers in the words that sandwich the Sha'ali Seruf of Eish, than the people right here, the people listening right here. The fact, the proof is in the pudding. The fact that you devote yourselves with such zrizos, such chavivos, to learn Torah every single day, who, about whom can you say there are people who appreciate the words that sandwich the Sha'ali Seruf of Eish? Ateres Svi, who look at the Torah as a crown of beauty, who look at the Torah as a tsefiras, a crown of pride, and who view it as a chedvas agudayich, the delight of your companions, of your chaver. Ashreichem, ashreichem v'toyv lachem, for showing and living that life of Chavivas HaTorah. May you all have a wonderful, enjoyable, peaceful Shabbos. Alava Hatzlach, it's a beautiful parasha. All of the brachos, Matoivu Lecha Yaakov, Mishkan Asecha Yisrael, we catch up. We finally, why do we catch up this week? Because when we come to the Oihalecha Yaakov and the Mishkan Asecha Yisrael, it can't be there are people that are different agudos. In Eretz Yisrael, they're going to say this week, Matoivu Lecha Yaakov, Mishkan Asecha Yisrael, and not us? How you talking? Can't let it go. Can't let it go. We can have been separated from Eretz Yisrael for already. How many months already? 2 months. I don't even know the numbers. More even. But when it comes to Matoivu Lecha Yaakov, Mishkan Asecha Yisrael, we can't tolerate that. We come to the Pesukim of Melech HaMashiach, Dorach, Koichov, B'Yaakov. We come to the Pesuk of Mashiach. How could we be Nidochim? How can we not participate with them in the coming of Mashiach? It's intolerable to be separated from Acheinu B'nei Yisrael when we read these beautiful brachos of Yemos HaMashiach and the beauty of the Oihalecha and the Mishkan of Klal Yisrael. So Baruch Hashem will be reunited with this week with Eretz Yisrael to Parshiyos. We should talk about Zoyche to see the Oihalim and the Mishkan and the brachos that are hidden in the words of Nevuah at the end of the parsha to witness the coming of Mashiach b'mehera v'yameinu. Amen. Have a good Shabbos and be well.
Have a good Shabbos. Shabbos, everyone.
Shabbos, everyone.